This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer and not just a hearer. In my life is the better. After having heard the word of faith, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Well, this has been our foundational passage for the series of lessons that we've been dealing with for quite some time on overcoming false beliefs. We are specifically now dealing with the subtopic of overcoming false beliefs about who you are, and we're dealing with the area of destroying the lies, destroying the lies. Well, let me back up. First of all, we found out that when I come into the kingdom of God, when I am born again, I bring an inferior thought pattern over into the kingdom of God with me. The Bible calls these strongholds. There's a thought life that I have that's not in agreement with the word of God. So when I get born again, my mind doesn't change. Those old things are not wiped out of my mind. And so I bring that into the kingdom of God. And even though I'm saved, my mind is still unchanged state. And so the Bible tells us in Romans 12 and 1, you stay right where you are, Romans 12 and 1, I'll quote it for you. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so it's the responsibility of the believer, when he's born again, to begin the process of renewing the mind. That is why we come to church. That is why we study our Bibles. It's because we're in the process of transforming our lives by transforming our thought life. Now, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So it's a warfare that's going on in our minds. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we're not talking about some psychological exercise. We're talking about flowing with the Spirit of God and what He has provided for us supernaturally to change and to alter our thought life. That's what we're talking about. So this is not some psychological exercise, but this is working with what God has provided us with through the Spirit of God, through His Word, so that we'll transform our thinking. Now please turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We all function in life through an internal script or a value system. We have a value system, a belief system, and by that belief system or value system, we make the decisions that we make in life. We behave the way we behave in life based on that value system. And that system is shaped over time. That system is shaped over time by four major factors. Happened in your life that way, happened in my life the same way. Four major factors have shaped the way you believe and what you think of things. Number one, your social environment. You pick up information from your social environment and it causes you to think a certain way, react a certain way. Secondly, from credible people around you. In your development years, people were feeding information to you, and this information has shaped the way you think, shaped how you respond to situations in life, shaped how you make decisions. Thirdly, through repetitious information that you've received. What I hear over and over and over and over again, it shapes my life. It shapes how I think. And then finally, experiences that you've had. The experiences that you've had has shaped your belief system or your value system or your conscience. All of these are synonymous terms for this script that we have in our lives. Now, what the devil does, the devil understands that in life, he cannot make you do anything. He can't force you to do anything. All he can do is manipulate your thinking, influence your thinking, so you make an incorrect choice, and then you suffer the consequences of your incorrect choice. That is all he did to Eve. That's all he can ever do to us. And that is to manipulate our thinking, to cause us to disobey God, to cause us to make incorrect decisions, and then we suffer the consequences of those incorrect decisions. So he goes to work long before you get saved of warping your belief system, of causing you to have errors in the way you think, what you think about yourself. Because what you think about yourself is a result of what you've heard others tell you about you and what your society says about you. When you actually think about who you are, what you're capable of doing is the end result of what you heard about you and what other people have told you about yourself. If this information was false, and much of the information we've heard about ourselves has been false, if it has been false, then you are not capable with this false information of properly charting your course in life. Because you have misinformation there. Now the devil knows that, and so he's filtered this misinformation into our lives and our development years, and now we bring that over into the kingdom of God. And so what he does is, since he knows you've got some errors in your thinking, at certain times in our lives, to get us to misbehave, he just rings our bell. He just goes, pulls something out of your past, shakes it in your face, causes you to think a certain way, and then you go misbehave. That's all he does. Now, the Bible says we shouldn't allow him to do this. In James chapter 4, are you there? James chapter 4, it tells me that we should be victorious over the devil. Look at verse 7. James 4 and 7. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. So I can do something about it. Look at the person next to you and say, we can do something about it. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. So if I resist the devil, then the devil will flee from me. Now we're talking about resisting the devil. Remember, the devil is not trying to frighten us with his ugliness. But what the devil is trying to do is to manipulate my thinking so that I will misbehave, make a decision that is outside of the plan of God for myself, my life, and then I will suffer the consequences of that. That is where fear comes in. That is where depression comes in. Low self-esteem. All of this is based on thinking internally, the thought life that I have, and how the devil is able to manipulate that so I put myself down or to lift myself up higher than I ought to be. Are you listening to me? Now, so since the believer knows that and understands that, we must do battle against the devil. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. We do battle with the devil with our spiritual, with our supernatural weapons. With our supernatural weapons, our spiritual weapons. They're not carnal, but they are mighty through God, the Bible says, to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, you may have had a past experience that has been very, very damaging to your life. You may have been raped. You may have had, before you came to the kingdom of God, you may have been a homosexual. You know, all you like was men. You follow me? And so what happens is, from time to time, the devil will go back in your past and bring something of that up in your mind, you see? Or maybe you were one of these persons who always frequented the little X-rated movie houses, you know? And every time you pass by one, you save, you born again, but boy, your flesh says, you ought to go in there and take a look, you know? Go in there and look again. You follow me? Or maybe you collected magazines, you know, pornography. Maybe you were a collection. Yeah, and so you've thrown all that stuff away now, but you know where you bought it from before, you see? And so the devil knows how to trigger. Y'all better hear me here. The devil knows how to trigger your mind to try to pull you back into that same cesspool that you were in before. And so what this lesson is about is you and I overcoming that, being totally free of that, not suppressing it. See, most believers, they're not free. They just suppress it down, you see? They just got a mental process that they go through to ain't gonna do that. No, that's not freedom. There comes a point in time when you ought to be totally free, and that ought not ever bother you anymore. And the only way you get free of that is supernatural. Look at the person next to you and say, this is supernatural. All right, now, are you there in Revelation chapter 12? Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. Revelation 12 and 11. It says there, well, I'll start there in verse 9. It says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Underline deceiveth, because that's what he does. That's how he does things. He deceives a deceiver. He misrepresents the truth. He gives out false information. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. On the line, accuser of our brethren, because that is what he does. He accuses our brethren. which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. Look at the verse. This is the emphasis verse, verse 11. And they overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, we've had partial knowledge of this in the body of Christ as we have dealt with the word of our testimony, understanding the word of God. If I say the word of God, then the devil must flee. And then we have an example of this in the book of Matthew, where Jesus had his confrontation with the devil, and he quoted the word, it is written. But there is another weapon here that we must use if we want to have total freedom in our lives, and that is the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. And now that's what we're going to deal with today. A little bit more. Last week we dealt with it. We're going to deal with just a little bit more today. Now listen to me. The devil doesn't always speak to you himself. Amen. Because in order for the devil to be very effective in the earth realm, he must have some human agents to help him. And so he has people who deceive you. People who give you false information. And you and I are responsible for exposing and eradicating false information that cripples our generation. How's the person they say, don't go to sleep. Look at him and say, Pastor. Look at him and say, Pastor told me to wake you up. Because he loves you. See, if he woke you up, everybody would know you asleep. All right, come on, now stay with me. This is important. Now listen. So now what the devil does is, since he knows that you chart your course in life based on the information you have, he'll set up somebody to give you some false information.
Amen.
Because that's how he works. He has to have a human agent. You see, if I wanted to, what street do you live on, brother?
Beach Bend.
If I wanted to go to this brother's house and this brother gave me false information about how to get to Beach Bend, I'd never get there. Even though I got partial truth, I know he lives on Beach Bend. But say he lived in the 2,000 block of Beach Bend and he told me 8,000. I'd never get to his house. Right? Even though he does have a house, even though he lives there, I'd never get there. Are you listening to me? False information hinders me from properly charting my course. So all my own life, let me tell you, Satan has planted little lies.
Amen.
About who you are, what you're capable of doing. And these little lies have kept you from properly charting your course. Now, we got to do two things. Number one, we've got to be able to overcome the effect of the lie in our lives. Secondly, we've got to stop the lying. Because we don't want to be agents of the devil.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Now, don't turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, we're going to identify who these agents of the devil are. We need to identify them. Remember, he has to have somebody to work with him, accomplices in the earth. He doesn't always speak to you directly. He has this indirect method that is just as effective. Verse 44 says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Those who lie lend their tongues to become instruments for demonic purposes in the earth. Those who lie, those who give out misinformation, you become an instrument for demonic purposes in the earth. So you need to be careful what you say, lest you lend your tongue to become an instrument for demonic purposes in the earth. Five kinds of liars. Are you ready? You ready to get them? Here are five kinds of liars. Five ways people lie. Way number one. Everybody say number one. Number one is the meticulous liar. The meticulous liar. Now the meticulous liar, this is what he does. He thinks it through very carefully. See, he thinks it through. He dots every I, crosses every T. It's a carefully planned, thought out lie.
Amen.
Now we're going to deal with them a little more in the next few lessons, but I'm just giving them to you now, because right now we have to be able to overcome the effect of a lie. How many know a lie hurts?
Amen.
See, and when you find out you've been lied to, if you don't know how to overcome the effect of a lie, you'll misbehave right in the middle of it. All right? So we're going to first find out how to overcome it. That's what we're going to do today. And then we're going to then talk about how to destroy and expose lies. All right? So number one was a meticulous liar. Number two is a misleading liar. And this is a person who can tell you the truth in a way that is deceptive.
Amen.
Tell you a little of the truth, but a way to deceive you. Kind of like what the devil was trying to do to Jesus. He said, now you know what the Bible said. All right. Number three is a malicious liar. A malicious liar. Now here, do the best you can on the spelling. Your notes are for your eyes only. I don't care how you write it. If you know how to say it, hey, everybody else is cool. If I, a malicious liar. Now, here's what the malicious liar does. Malicious liar finds out. See, they will pass on information without any regard of whether it's true or not. But they know, let's say I hear something on this brother, and I don't like him. And it's something that will hurt him. Then before I check it out or anything, since I know it will hurt him, I'll start telling that. Because I know it's going to hurt him. You follow me? Whether it's true or not, it's just bad enough to hurt him. So that's a malicious liar.
Amen.
That's the messy liar. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Y'all ready for the next one?
Amen.
All right. The next one is the meandering liar. Do the best you can on the spelling. Meandering liar. Now, here's the person who wanders around the truth and ends up lying without ill intent. He wanders around the truth. I'm going to tell you what happens.
Amen.
A lot of people are guilty of this. Somebody get up here to sing a solo. You follow me? They can't sing. First of all, they can't carry the tune right. Then in the middle of the song, they forget some of the words. They try to, you know, put the words together and make it up as they go. You follow me? You know, just do a real bad job. And then they come up to you and they say, how'd I do? And then you go, well, it was okay. It was good. You lied. You should tell that person, look, next time you get ready to sing, be sure you know what the words of that song are. You see? And you need to practice a little bit more. See, that's that meandering lie. Just wanders all around the truth. I see growth. You didn't hit a couple of notes good. See, you meandering all around the truth. Just go tell him, brother, you need to work on that. I mean, that your gift's not in manifestation just yet. So number one, we call it a malicious, meticulous liar. Number two was what? A misleading liar. Number three was? Number four? And then the final lie is the misinformed liar. These are people who pass on a lie but thinks it's the truth. Kind of like Job. Job lied. He thought he was telling the truth. But he lied when he said the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. God didn't do that. It was the devil taking away from him, wasn't God?
Amen.
And there are a lot of people. You hear a lot of these in church. People lie on God. They think they're telling the truth. But they're still lying, passing on misinformation. Now, no matter what the lie was, no matter what the person's intent was, the end result is the same, misinformation. And when I get misinformation, I cannot properly chart my course. Everybody understand that? So a lie is contagious, because when people think they've got something that's true and they're telling it, I mean, you know, you got a bad situation on your hand. And so a person can lie on you, and it be a lie, and it gets out and it spreads. What you going to do? You can't go whip everybody. And if you don't know who you are, that lie will tear you apart. Are you listening to me? You see, that's why you have to, when a lie is in the earth, we got a liar, you got to identify him and quarantine him. Psalms 101, I'll show you how God feels about a liar. So if you don't quarantine him, he'll damage the testimony of God in the earth. A believer who lies? Y'all know some too. One of these five ways of lying. They lie. And you better find out and quarantine them. Here's what God says, verse 7. 101, verse 7. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Look like God trying to identify him and get him away from him. Are you listening to me? So look at the person next to you and say, you have to watch out for liars. And you know how, you need to know how to handle a lie. All right, now, in our last lesson, we talked about the blood of Jesus. That's what we're going to pick up right now and talk more about the blood of Jesus. Because it's the blood of Jesus that helps us overcome internal hurt. Internal hurt. When I've been lied to. When I've been hurt. When somebody's fooled me. It's the blood of Jesus that helps deal with the internal hurt. Now, we talked last week about the sacrifice. Went through this illustration of a blood sacrifice. How many were here last week? Wave at me. All right. How many were not here last week? Raise your hand. Wave at me. Where were y'all? We were here. All right. Now, did you see that? Did you see that? Now, suppose all of them had been here. We didn't have any room for them last week, did we? Wave at me again. Y'all who didn't make it last week. All right. Amen. I'm not putting you down. I mean, you know, you may have had something to do. It wasn't any more important than being here, but you may have something. Let me leave y'all alone. I got to keep going now. So now, listen to me. But that's awesome, isn't it? Because we were jam-packed last week, wasn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why we need another building. Amen. 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 That's why we're building right down the street. Building twin buildings in this city. One in the north, one in the south. Each building will see 3,000. We'll dedicate them without a march. All right, now, we found out last week that through the blood of a sacrifice, I gain pardon. Through the blood of a sacrifice, I gain purification. And through the blood of a sacrifice, I can gain protection. We dealt with pardon last week. Let's deal now with purification. Turn with your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14. Talking about how blood from a sacrifice was used to purify, make clean in the sight of God a thing. All right, Leviticus chapter 14. We're going back to the Old Testament. We'll see the example, and then we're going to give you the New Testament's shadow of it. All right, type of it. All right, verse 49. He shall take to cleanse the house two birds. So the object of what's this sacrifice is to cleanse the house. Two birds and a cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. Everybody saying hyssop. And he shall kill one of the birds in the earthen vessel over running water. He shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop. Everybody say the hyssop. And the scarlet and the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water, and sprinkle the house seven times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird, and with running water, and with the living bird, and with the cedar wood, and with the, everybody say the hyssop?
Yes.
And with the scarlet. So you see, this was the ceremony that a priest had to go through to cleanse the house of a leper. The object here I want you to see is, it was through the blood of this sacrifice that this house was cleansed. Now, the cleansing we're talking about is not sanitation, but we're talking about being spiritually clean, purged as it were in the sight of God, meet and ready for the master's use. Now, if my mind has some, if there's some strongholds in my thinking that cause me to think incorrectly and misbehave, in order for my mind to be meet for the master's use, I got to have a clean mind. Everybody say you got to have a clean mind.
Yeah.
Now that clean mind is going to happen, it's going to occur through me knowing how to apply the blood of Jesus in my mind so that my mind can get cleaned up from the past hurts, past experiences, past tragedies, all those things that the devil has been able to do to draw me back into the cesspool of life. You see, I've got to know how to apply the blood of Jesus. Now turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9. In Hebrews chapter 9, we will see here on record a supernatural cleansing that takes place when the blood of Jesus is applied. A supernatural cleansing that takes place when the blood of Jesus is applied. Knowing how to apply the blood of Jesus is what we're all about today. Verse 21, it says, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry, and almost all things by the law purged, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Now look at verse 14. I'm in Hebrews chapter 9, at verse 14 now. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge our conscience, purge our belief system, purge our value system from dead works to serve the living God. So he's saying here, there is a supernatural power, a supernatural cleansing available for you as a believer to cleanse your mind of all the garbage that was put there before you met the Lord Jesus Christ, before you had a commitment to walk with God. There is a supernatural power of God available to go underneath your skin to clean out the garbage that's in your mind. All right, turn with me. We're in Hebrews chapter 9, right? Let's go to chapter 10. It shouldn't take you long to get there. Look there in verse 21. Having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. I'm in Hebrews 10 and 22 now. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled, there it is, from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promised. Please listen to me now. Here again we see that it is through this sprinkling that we're able to cleanse this evil conscience, this old mindset, this old mentality that I had that keeps me going back into the cesspool of life. Now listen to me. The Bible says, this is the key now, anything that is spiritual, the way I cause it to happen to me in the natural, I have to do two things. Number one, I have to believe it. And number two, I have to confess it. That's how you got saved. I believed it and I said it. All the promises of God are received by faith. And faith says, I got to speak it. I got to believe it and I got to speak it. To apply the blood of Jesus, to apply any promise of the word of God to my life, to cause anything spiritual to manifest, I got to first believe it. That's where I get information. And then I got to speak it. And so this word says, I hold fast to the confession of my faith. When I find out that when I apply, if I will apply the blood of Jesus to my life, to my mind, that it will cleanse my mind, I get that, I confess that, I hold fast to it until it manifests. Amen. The same way you would do on healing. You get the word on healing, you confess, by stripes I'm healed, I believe I'm healed, thank God I believe I'm healed, and you say it until it came to pass, until it manifested, right? Same thing you do on prosperity. You find out what the word says, and you say, every need I have is met, thank God every need I have is met, I'm a giver, because I'm a giver, men give to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, men give into my bosom. God's raising up somebody somewhere to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me. I mean, you said it, you said, I'm blessed. I don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Look, you go through that over and over and over and over and over and over until it manifests, right? Yes. Amen. So it is with this. You take it, you put it in your mouth, and you hold fast, and then I'm going to tell you, this supernatural thing, when it happens, you don't even know it happened. Amen. It's just, all of a sudden, you go, I used to think like that.
Amen.
All of a sudden somebody will do something to you and you'll say, well, I remember the time. But that had no, it did not trigger you. It did not trigger you anyway, because you're totally free. Are you listening to me? All right, now please turn with me in your Bibles to two other passages along this line of purification. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I love the word, y'all. All right, 1 John chapter 1. Are you there? Look now with me. Verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Oh, look at this. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins. And to what else? Cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. See, the problem with people who keep doing the same thing over and over, they get forgiveness, but they never get the cleansing. And you gotta have the cleansing. If you don't get the cleansing, then what happens is you're going to go right back there and you're going to do it again. Now, Psalms 51. Psalms 51. David, under the old covenant, had an understanding of this. He had a revelation that I could ask for forgiveness, all right, but that's something else has to happen. Otherwise, I'll fall into the same trap again. I'll commit the same transgression all over again. I'll find myself with the crack pipe in my hand a second time around. I'll find myself laying up in a motel room with somebody who's not my wife again. I got to get my conscience cleansed. Glory to God. All right. Are you there in Psalms? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Isn't it good? You can go right to the Word of God and get answers. Hallelujah. All right. Look at Psalms 51. Now here's David. David had murdered a man. David had committed adultery. And now he's been exposed and he's going to God about it. All right. Verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitudes of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Look at this now. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, look at this. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. David said, God, you want to get underneath my skin. That's what he's saying. He says, God, you want to go inside. It's not enough just to make a public declaration that I've changed. It's not enough to just go to God and say, God, forgive me. God wants to go on the inside of you, and he wants to do some cleansing work on the inside so you can put this whole thing behind you. And David understood it under the old covenant, and so David said, God, look, I know what you really want. You just don't want this testimony over and over, me asking forgiveness over and over. God, you want to get in the inside of me. You want to clean this thing out once and for all. And David said, I want you to do it. And so David says, look, purge me with, oh, there's that word again, with hyssop. See, hyssop was the plant that they used. They would dip the hyssop in the blood, and then they would sprinkle the blood, you see? So David had an understanding that it is the blood of a sacrifice that cleanses me. So David says, look, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be well. Whiter than snow. There is purification when we apply the blood of Jesus. Look at the person next to you and say, there's purification. When you apply the blood of Jesus. Glory be to God. All right, now, let's deal with the last part, and the last point will be the protection factor. Please turn with me in your Bibles now to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, we see the story of the Passover. And this story of the Passover shares with us a powerful principle of how our lives can be protected and what we have can be protected by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of a sacrifice. To bring you up to date on the story, the Bible says that Israel had been in slavery in Egypt. They cried out to God. God sent them Moses. And Moses came on the scene and told Pharaoh, let the people of God go. Pharaoh said, well, I tell you what, I'm going to let you go. I'll not let them go. Then plagues began to come upon the people of Egypt, and Pharaoh was then moved to negotiate. Well, you're there in chapter 12, right? Put your ribbon there in chapter 12, and let's back up to chapter 8. Everybody say, he'll get back to chapter 12? All right. Now, there in chapter 8, we're going to see something awesome. Chapter 8 there of Exodus, Pharaoh offers several compromises. Here is compromise number 1, verse 25. Pharaoh called Moses called for Moses and Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. Underline, in the land. The in the land compromises this. Okay, you want to go and serve God? Go on, serve God, but don't change. That's what it's all about. Stay in the same sinful situation you're in. And that's the sacrifice. That's the compromise Satan offers many people. Yeah, go and go to church. You can go on special days. You can go when somebody asks you to go. But don't take this thing too serious. Don't change.
Amen.
You know, you're young. You still got a lot of fun to have. You still got a whole lot of partying left ahead of you. You got a whole lot of partying in you. And you don't want to be a hypocrite, do you? Stay in the land. Everybody say, stay in the land.
Stay in the land.
I mean, keep your appointment at the happy house, at the happy hour. Keep that.
Amen.
Don't give up your spot at the whole house.
Amen.
stand. I mean, hey, they know you're at the crack house. Don't give that up. You can get yours on credit. Pay for it late.
Amen.
Stay in the land. I say stay in the land. All right. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 28. Here's the second a compromise. And Pharaoh said, I will not let you go that ye sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. In other words, why are you there praying? Pray for me. Pharaoh's lying, wasn't he? He didn't want any prayer. But now, look what the second compromise is. Go, but don't go too far. Don't get too involved in this.
Amen.
That's what the compromise is to the people. And this is what the devil will tell people. Say, look, you don't go to church. You know, you like the way Pastor hear you handle that word and explain it. You're learning more. Go on and go. But now don't you get saved. And don't you get filled with the Spirit. And don't you speak in tongues.
Amen.
That's you going too far. And then some of them, he loves to say, you get saved, but look now, you don't get them tongues now. You leave them tongues alone.
Amen.
And look, don't you raise your hands and praise. You be raising your hands. That's going too far. You see, I understand that because, see, the devil tried this thing on me. I remember the first time I went to a church like our church, and you know, everybody's raising their hands. That time I'm still a Baptist preacher. I'm a Baptist preacher, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and God told to organize an independent Word of Faith church.
Amen.
How's the person next to you and say, you better wake up?
Pastor told me to wake you up.
So he wouldn't have to. Now everybody just smiles. The smile and love one for another. All right, now listen, come on, listen. You got to get this point. You got to get this. This is important. Now, I went to this church. I mean, everybody was praising the Lord and everything. You know, I'm a Baptist pastor. You know, I have my stand. They're praising worship. They're praising the Lord, raising their hands. I'm going, well. Mm-hmm. See, I'm too cool in my own mind. I'm too cool to be raising my hands and that. That's going too far. Don't take all that. I didn't understand that's within the Bible, that the Bible says we lift up holy hands. I didn't know that, you see. So I'm standing there, you know. Then I look over and saw this little kid praising the Lord. Free as he could be, hands raised, talking to God. And I say, I know God too. So I said, I'm going to raise my hand. So I raised my hand right here. So people in the back say, that's it. That's it. That's as far as I was going, just right here. Because then I can still be cool. You know, I'm Pastor Hilliard. You know, I'm Pastor Baptist Church. I can't let these folks think, you know, I mean, I got to be cool. Well, I tell you what happened. I looked over and saw this little kid talking to God, and man, I said, well, I can do that too. So I closed my eyes, I started talking to God, my hands went up, they've been up ever since. See, but the devil will tell you not to do that. The devil will tell you you're going too far, tell you as a man, you're too cool for that. I mean, what are your friends going to say if they see you in this church with your hands raised up? What are they going to say?
Amen.
They'll say, don't do that, that's going too far. Don't you get filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues? I get quiet on that.
Amen.
You see, because pastor lets you be a member of the church without speaking in tongues. So you go on and join the church, go to church, take your Bible, but when it comes time to get filled with the Holy Ghost, when he makes that appeal, don't you move.
Amen.
Everybody say, move on, pastor. Here's the third compromise. Third compromise is in Exodus chapter 10. Go with me that quickly. Exodus chapter 10, third compromise. Oh, glory. Third compromise. We're going to get closer and closer to chapter 12. All right, chapter 10. Here's the third compromise. Verse 8. And Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? And Moses says, we will go with our young, with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, with our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. Now look, Look at verse 10. And he said, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. In other words, he said to them, you know, some evil may happen to y'all. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Here's what the Pharaoh said. They said, Pharaoh said, now, who you want to take with you? Moses said, look, we want our children to go, our family to go, our herds, everybody to go. And Pharaoh said, no, look, you don't need to take the children. Now, y'all, all the men go, but don't take the children. What he said is, look, don't carry your witness to your home to affect the next generation. Just be a nice Christian here in church. But when you go home, act the way you've always been acting. They understand you. They know you. They know you got a bad temper. They know you always curse. Now, be careful. Don't curse in church now. But don't do anything that's going to influence the next generation. See, Moses knew that if they carried these children out into the wilderness, and these children saw their parents worshiping God, Moses knew the effect that that would have on the next generation. Just like Las Vegas knows the effect it's going to have on the next generation when mommies and daddies go to Las Vegas to gamble and carry their little children to go to the theme park. Because you got to pass through the casino to get to the theme park. And so my little children going to see mommies and daddies put money in the machine. Mommies and daddies throwing paying crap. Mommies, are you getting this? And they want to grow up and do just what they saw mommy and daddy doing. Amen. Moses says, no, if we go, the children go too.
Amen.
Last compromise. Y'all want it?
Amen.
Are you sure? All right, look at verse 24. And Pharaoh called Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Because he had these plagues, man. He was saying, look, get out of here. Go ye serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. Take the little children. I don't care. Get them brats out of here. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind. And thereof must we take... must we take to serve the Lord our God? And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. So what Pharaoh is saying, look, I'll let you go, take your children, but leave all your resources here. Leave your resources behind. And that's what a lot of folk hear. Look, the devil tells us, go and enjoy the church. Look, are you going to feel the Holy Ghost? That's okay too. And you're going to be a witness at home? That's all right too. Quit lying. Quit acting a fool at home. Start being a good husband. Be a good father. But look, don't you give any money.
Amen.
Leave your money behind. That's the same thing. Pharaoh said, do you leave all your resources here? And that's what the devil say. Look, don't you be no fool. Don't you give them tithe. They don't need your tithe. Look at all those folk there. They're going to do what they're going to do without you. Go on while you little band. Make everybody think you in this thing. But see, when it come down to it, you'll get them $500. You know what you can do with $500? That's what the devil does.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, Pastor, he got the faith. He can pull it off. Keep your money. Moses refused each one of them because he understood he did not have to compromise with the devil because he had the protection of Almighty God.
Amen.
And so when God got ready to move with the final judgment, and God moved in judgment, Exodus chapter 14, God moved in judgment on the children of Egypt so that they would release the children of Israel. He did so, and then he provided a plan whereby they would be protected. And that plan is found here in Exodus chapter 14. And so God tells them to do a certain thing. Verse 13. Speak ye to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take unto them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb of an house, for a house. And if the house will be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without without blemish, a male of the first year, ye shall take it from the sheep and from the goats. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take the blood and strike it. Look at this. They shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door of the post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Verse 8. Where y'all? I said 14. Oh, y'all. Oh, no. Chapter 12. Y'all better stop me, y'all. I'm about ready to get off to get after this. And y'all just let me, how y'all let me read five scriptures? So y'all could get my attention, huh? Chapter 12. I'm not going to reread all that either. You got to go home and read it for yourself now. I'm all the way down to verse 8. I will read verse 7. And they shall strike the blood, and they shall take of the blood of this lamb that they've killed, strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast it, or roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Now, look over at verse 12. Chapter 12, verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you as for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plagues shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So now what happened is God is moving in judgment. He does not move in judgment upon us now in this dispensation, but at that time God moved in judgment. We are under the dispensation of grace, and God deals with us by grace and not by judgment. But at that time, God was getting ready to judge the land. And so the only way the children of God would be protected is that they took the blood of this sacrifice lamb that was a type of Jesus, take its blood, put the hyssop on it, put hyssop in it, blood, and then wipe it on the side of the doorpost, on each side, and then over the top of the doorpost. And this would serve as a way to mark the house, so when the angel of death and destruction came into the land, he would see the blood and pass over the house. Everybody understand? And then they were to take the rest of the lamb, and go in and roast it and eat it. They were to eat it with unleavened bread, which represent they need to cleanse themselves. They need to be clean, get all of the crap out and the junk out of their life. Then they were to take the blood, the lamb, and they would eat it with bitter herbs, which represent the bitterness that they had experienced in the land of Egypt. Because God wanted to make an impression upon their minds that the life of sin was bitter. The life of sin had hardships. And so God wanted to get them in their minds to appreciate the freedom that they were about to experience. Now listen to me. This is what they had to do. And when they did that, and the angel of death passed through the land, they were protected. Now how does this apply to me? Is there protection for the believer under the new covenant? Yes, there is. What do you think the armor of God is for? Amen. What do you put on armor for?
Amen.
Huh? Protection. And so when I put on the armor of God, it is synonymous to me putting and applying the blood of Jesus to my life. Because every part of the armor is really talking about Jesus. Let's think about it. The helmet of salvation is what? Who is our salvation?
Jesus.
So when I put the helmet on, and that helmet of a soldier, it fit all over his head. Kind of like when you look at the football players, they didn't put numbers on their back. You would know them by just looking at them because the helmet covers their head.
Amen.
And then the belt of truth. Who is truth?
Jesus,
right?
Amen.
And then my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Who is the gospel of peace?
Jesus.
He's our peace, the Bible says. And the breastplate of righteousness. Who is our righteousness?
Jesus
is our righteousness. And then the sword of the Spirit. Who is the Word of God?
Jesus.
We know that's true because John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and that's talking about Jesus. So when I put on the whole armor of God that I may withstand the wiles of the devil, I simply put on Jesus. And it's a type of applying the blood of Jesus. Look, when I got all of that on, I got Jesus on my head and Jesus around my waist and Jesus on my chest and Jesus on my feet and Jesus in my hand. When the devil looks at me, he sees Jesus. And he don't want to tangle with Jesus anymore. Are you listening to me? Now, how do I do that? Last scripture for the day, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. How do I do that? I apply the blood of Jesus. This is important. I apply the blood of Jesus with the word of my mouth. Any promise of God, I see it in the Bible, I have to say, so let it be in my life. When I see it, I have to say, yes, so let it be in my life. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. And all the promises in God, promises of God in him, in Jesus, are yea, and in him, amen. So the promises of God, all of them, God gave them. Jesus says to them, yes, he affirms them to us. And we have to say, amen, so let it be in my life. Did you get that? And that's how I apply it. Anything that I want to manifest for me in the natural, I must apply it by confessing it with my mouth. So when I say it, and see, I don't, like some people, they put the armor on every day. I don't take my armor off. Amen. See, I don't take, but get every day, put their armor on. I keep mine on all the time. You see, I go to sleep in my armor. Follow me? Now, when I get up, I just thank God I got it on already. I don't have to keep putting mine off and on. The Bible says put on Christ. Never told you to take him off. So I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. So when I find a promise of protection in the word, like in Psalms 91, when I find a promise of protection, I say, so let it be in my life. Amen. And then like the children of Israel, when I see all of the garbage going on in the world, see, I got my life covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. And I don't panic and I don't freak out because I see a news report. I don't panic and freak out because I hear what the devil is doing to other folk. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. And like they feasted while the death angel was riding through the land, I'm having a party. Amen. Psalms 91, I'll let you go. Psalms 91, here's my protection. I'm able to say, yes, so let it be in my life. That's how you do it, believers. That's how you get the victory out of this. That's how you get protection. It says, Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That looks like protection to me. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. So let it be in my life. I apply that. You understand that? I apply the blood of Jesus, I stand protected, and the devil cannot get victory over me. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Now, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Dr. Zavi and Bridget Hilliard at New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas, write Light Ministries, Post Office Box 670167, Houston, Texas 77267, or call 281-875-4448. You can also call toll-free 800-908-4222. And remember, we are changing lives through faith.